ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Hare Krishna. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 47th Chapter, Text 7. The title of the chapter is The Song of the Bee.
Nisvam tejanti ganika akalpam ripatim praja अधीत विद्या आचार्यम् ऋत्विजो दत्त दक्षिणाम् निस्वं त्यजन्ति गणिका अकल्पं नृपतिं प्रजा अधीत विद्या आचार्यम् ऋत्विजो दत्त दक्षिणाम् निस्वं त्यजन्ति गणिका अकल्पं नृपतिं प्रजा अधीत विद्या आचार्यम् ऋत्विजो दत्त दक्षिणाम् निस्वं त्यजन्ति गणिका अधीता विद्या आचार्यम् ऋत्विजो दत्त दक्षिणा। निस्वं त्यजन्ति गणिका अधीता विद्या आचार्यम् ऋत्विजो दत्त दक्षिणा। निस्वं त्यजन्ति गणिका यन्ति अकल्पं प्रति प्रजा अधीत विद्या आचार्यम् आचार्यो दत्पदक्षिणम्।
माताजी
गणिन्ति गणिका अकल्पं रूपतिं प्रजा अधीत विद्या आचार्यम् ऋत्विजो दत्त दक्षिणम्।
वर्ड बाय वर्ड मीनिंग निस्वम वन विदाउट एनी एसेट्स त्यजन्ति अबैंडन गणिकाः प्रोस्टिट्यूट्स अकल्पम इनकॉम्पिटेंट नृपतिम ए किंग प्रजा सिटीजन्स अधीत विद्या दोज हु हैव कंप्लीटेड देयर एजुकेशन आचार्यम द टीचर ऋत्विज प्रीस दत्त हु हैज गिवन दक्षिणाम देयर रेम्युनरेशन। There is no purport to this work, so we'll read the next couple of verses.
Kalkavitafalam ruksham bhuktva chatithayo griham dagdham rugasastya arunyam jara bhukta ratam striyam. Birds abandon a tree when its fruits are gone. Guests a house after they have eaten. Animals a forest that has burned down. And a lover, the woman he has enjoyed, even though she remains attached to him. Texts 9 and 10. Iti gopyo hi govinde gata vakkaya manasa कृष्णदूते समायाते उद्धवे त्यक्तलौकिकाः गायन्त्याः प्रियकर्माणि रुदन्त्यश्च गतहियाः तस्य संस्मृत्य यानि कैशोर्यबाल्ययोः।
ट्रांसलेशन इन पर्पट बाय डिसाइपल्स ऑफ भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन
Thus speaking, the gopis whose words, bodies and minds were fully dedicated to Lord Govinda put aside all their regular work now that Krishna's messenger Sri Uddhava had arrived among them. Constantly remembering the activities their beloved Krishna had performed in his childhood and youth, they sang about them and cried without shame. Purport. The word Balayoho here indicates that ever since their childhood, the gopis had been completely in love with Krishna. Thus, even though social custom dictated that they not reveal their love to others, they forgot all external considerations and wept openly before Krishna's messenger. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे।
Hare Krishna. So at the very outset, I would like to seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavas sitting here so that I can speak a few words on this rather difficult and somewhat esoteric subject matter. I just don't have the qualifications, but nevertheless will make an effort to project some of my thoughts on the subject. Now, Uddhava, he was sent to Vrindavan on one of the most challenging missions of his life. Why did Lord Krishna select only Uddhava and nobody else? Srila Sukadeva Goswami gives an explanation in a verse in the previous chapters.
वृष्णीनां प्रवरो मंत्री कृष्णस्य दयिता सखा शिष्यः बृहस्पतेः साक्षात् उद्धवः बुद्धिसत्तमः।
सो श्रील सुखदेव गोस्वामी इज ग्लोरिफाइंग उद्धव। ही सेज दैट उद्धव इज बुद्धिसत्तमः, सुप्रीमली इंटेलिजेंट, नॉट जस्ट इंटेलिजेंट, सुप्रीमली इंटेलिजेंट। वेन एवर एन इंटेलिजेंट पर्सन is encountered, we say he has intelligence like Brihaspati. And actually Uddhava was one of the foremost disciples of Brihaspati and therefore supremely intelligent. And Uddhavavad, Rushninam Pravaro Mantrihi. The best counselor of Rushni dynasty. Uddhava also was Daita Sakha. He was a beloved friend of Krishna. And Brahaspatehe Shishyaha, direct disciple of Brahaspati. And what is more significant for us, that he was a devotee and Uddhava looked like Krishna. Not Krishna, but packaged like Krishna. That all the looks were similar to Krishna. His dress also. So, as was discussed by Baldev Prabhu the other day, Krishna would oftentimes consult Uddhava. He would take his advice whenever there was a difficult situation. For example, just before the Rajasuya sacrifice, Yudhishthira Maharaj was worried that there was one king who was not vanquished, and that was Jarasandha. And it was a very difficult foe to win over. So Krishna consulted Uddhava at that time. He said, don't go and try to defeat Jarasandha with the army. Only three of you go to Magadha. You, Arjun and Bhim, three of you go there and challenge Jarasandha to a fight, man-to-man combat, and kill Jarasandha. And Krishna accepted that advice. And we see how the advice was okay, and eventually we read that Jarasandha was killed by Bhim in Malla Yuddha. So there were no encounters between armies, no bloodshed, nothing like that. So Uddhava gave a very sane and a very practical advice, and Krishna accepted it. So highly qualified. The question that arises in our minds is, why did Krishna want Uddhava to go to Vraj? This has been discussed before. What I am speaking is nothing new. So Krishna was unable to leave for Vraj Bhumi. A, because he was unable to depart from the association of Vasudev and Devaki, whom he had met after so many years of separation. And at the same time, Krishna had promised Vrajvasis that he is going to return to Vraj. So he had to make some kind of an adjustment in which he would send a representative instead of himself, and somehow or the other assuage the feelings of the Vrajavasis who were so miserable. Krishna particularly wanted to relieve the misery of his father Nanda and Yashoda and also the Vraj Gopis, because they were in intense misery now caused by separation. So this issue had to be handled very sensitively, and Krishna could not think of any other person in Mathura who could handle this so very sensitively, and therefore he chose Uddhava. Krishna also wanted Uddhava to be exposed to the highly elevated ecstatic devotional service practiced in Vrindavan by the Vrajavasis. Now these words are not my words, these are words of Srila Prabhupada selected from Krishna book. So says that he was very particular, Krishna was particular, that Uddhava is a wonderful devotee, alright, but he should be exposed to the highest standards of devotional service set by the Vrajavadus. Aradhya Bhagavan Vrajeshatanaya Taddhama Vrindavanam Ramya Kachid Upasana Vrajavadu Vargenaya Kalpita. So the Vrajavadus, their standard of devotional service was supreme. So somehow or the other, Krishna was particular that Uddhava, though a wonderful devotee, should be exposed to the highest standard. So Srila Prabhupada comments this in Krishna book. He says that even if one is highly educated, I am quoting his words, in material education, and is even a disciple of Brahaspati, he still has to learn from the gopis and other residents of Vrindavan how to love Krishna to the highest degree. So not all the brilliance, not all the qualifications of Uddhava, according to Krishna, were sufficient for him to, reach the highest standard of worship. So this was only possible for the Vrajagopis, and therefore Krishna wanted Uddhava to get a first-hand experience by associating with the Vrajavasis and learn, what are the highest standards of worship. So therefore Krishna, as we read in the earlier verses, Krishna gave a complete background. He gave a complete background to Uddhava about what were the feelings of the Vrajavasis in general, and in particular what were the feelings of Nanda and Yashoda when he left for Mathura. Especially he talked about the feelings of the gopis. So Krishna explained to Uddhav that his father Nanda Maharaj and mother Yashoda were grief stricken, as if they were suffering from an incurable ailment. Continuously, torrents of tears would flow from their eyes. I think the other day Baldev Prabhu explained that there is a mention that two streams of water were flowing down from Nanda Maharaja's residence, and if you followed the streams and went up, you straight away landed into the house of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai, and the tears were flowing from their eyes, and that was the reason for the torrents. That was the reason for the currents of water flowing down. So this was the depth of their emotion. It was not the type of emotion which many times mothers and father they express. When you go to the airport, you see mothers and fathers crying piteously. Not that. This was in ecstasy. These were tears of ecstasy that were flowing down from their eyes. So that was the state of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai. And what about the gopis? This is described in a beautiful shloka. Ta mana manaska mat prana madarte tyakta dehika mameva daitam preshtam atmanam manasagata ye tyakta loka dharmascha madarte tan vibharmyaham. So this is there in a previous chapter. So the minds of those gopis are always absorbed, and their very lives are devoted to me. For my sake they have abandoned everything related to their bodies, renouncing ordinary happiness in this life as well as religious duties necessary for such happiness in the next life. So Krishna is indicating the extent of their involvement, the involvement of the gopis. I alone am their dearmost beloved, and indeed their very self. Therefore, I take it upon myself to sustain them in all circumstances. So we can understand from this that what a difficult mission it must have been for Uddhava, with this kind of a background, this kind of strong feelings which Krishna has about the Vrajavasis. So the Uddhava came to Vrindavan on a mission, wanting to give comfort to the troubled Vrajavasis on the spiritual platform. His Grace Govind Prabhu the other day said that Uddhava came prepared to give a seminar on Krishna consciousness to the gopis. But he was completely bowled over. Uddhava was completely bowled over by the sheer intensity of love in separation exhibited by the Vrajavasis. So their love for Krishna was so overwhelming that all other considerations took a back seat. So he met Nanda Maharaj, Uddhava met Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, who bestowed all their love and respect on him. And Nanda Maharaj in particular described in great detail, it is given in the previous verses, described in great detail the extraordinary and uncommon activities of Krishna and Balaram. And as Nanda Maharaj was describing all these activities, he gradually became overwhelmed with ecstasy. So much ecstasy that it was impossible for him to talk. He couldn't proceed further. That was that. So he had to stop. And as for Yashoda Mai, she was continuously, crying. So then, after meeting and giving some solace to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, Uddhav met with the gopis. So when the gopis understood that Uddhava was a beloved representative of Krishna and that they had a message from Krishna for him, from him, they invited Uddhava to a secluded place and made him very comfortable. So actually the gopis, as they were taking care of Uddhava, they were completely overwhelmed with love for Krishna, and somehow or the other, in presence of Uddhava, they felt free. They felt free to, you know, express themselves. Normally the gopis are known for, you know, not known for being very free with others, but here in this case, somehow or the other, Uddhava's resemblance to Krishna perhaps and his other qualities made them open up. So they started speaking to him without any inhibitions. No, I was just happening to browse through Gopal Champu. I am not a usual reader of that book, but for this lecture I had to refer. So in that Gopal Champu, there is a statement by Srila Jiva Goswami. It says that in this world the relationship between the enjoyer and the enjoyed is not clear. Enjoyer and the enjoyed is not clear. The relationship between the flower and bee is not fixed. The relationship of man and woman for momentary happiness when they come together with mutual dependence also is temporary. So somehow or the other, Jiva Goswami is completely reflecting some of the thoughts that are there in these verses. So in text 7 and 10, which we have just finished reading, about these verses, Srila Prabhupada in Krishna book puts it in a very simple way which I could relate to. So about text 7, Srila Prabhupada says that a prostitute does not care for her paramour as soon as he loses money. Now, this is what happens in practical, in the material world. So if you have cash jingling in your pocket, you are welcome, otherwise you are not welcome. That is the thought that is being projected here by the gopis. Then, when the citizens find that a government is incapable of giving them full protection, they leave the country. They run away. Even if they are highly placed, they have to run away. They have to seek refuge somewhere, political asylum or something like that. So they run away from there. So, when a student finishes his education, he gives up his relationship with the teacher and the school or the institute. The moment he has got a degree in his hand, and in the case of the school, a school leaving certificate or whatever, as soon as that comes, his relationship with the school or with his college or with his institute, everything stops, it ceases. And a priest, after taking his dakshina, remuneration from the worshipper, he gives him up also. So this is how the relationships are there in the material world. So all of us can relate to the statements which the gopis are making about these worldly things. Then in text 8, Prabhupada says, when the fruit season is over, birds are no longer interested in the tree. No fruits, no birds. The birds all run away. They seek another tree which is laden with fruits so that, you know, they can satisfy their hunger. So they don't continue on the same tree. They don't say that, you know, this tree has given us so many fruits, we'll continue to stay here only. No. So they immediately fly away from there, go to yet another tree and, you know, they fill their stomachs. So then again, just after eating in the house of a host, the guest gives up his relationship with the host. Now this is something which must have been happening in the past, but sometimes, you know, you have guests, they never give up relationship with the host. They want to continue on and on and on. Actually, according to Vedic tradition, a guest was never asked to leave. A guest was someone who came unexpected, unannounced, atithi. So he came on any day and he just came and he was made welcome by the host and taken care of. But as far as the guest is concerned, as soon as, you know, he is taken care of, his requirements are over and he just detaches himself from there. He doesn't continue to stay in that. Just as if the host, you know, has got an air-conditioned cabin, which the guest may not have in his own house. He will not continue staying in the host's house just because it has all the facilities. He will just walk away after his job is done. Walk away. That's how it is. So, similarly, after a forest fire, when there is scarcity of green grass, deer and other animals give up the forest. Because everybody has to live for himself or for herself. Everyone has to fend for himself. They just leave and go. Then, a paramour gives up the woman he has enjoyed even though she remains attached to him. So, I remember as a student, we had a very good Sanskrit teacher and he would always quote this from Brihadaranya Upanishad. He would say that Atmanastu Kamaya Sarvam Priyam Bhavati. So, it is for one's own sake that everything else is loved. Atmanastu Kamaya. Relationships are based on this, in this material world. Relationships are based on that. So, the example that is given is, I love mangoes. I love mangoes not for the mango's sake. I love mangoes for my sake. Atmanastu kamaya. For my own pleasure, I love mangoes. I love a dog, I love a pet. Not for the pleasure of the pet, but for my own pleasure. Yes, the pet may get some asylum, pet may get some shelter, but I love it for my own sake. Similarly, the husband loves his wife for his own sake and not for her sake, and so on. Now, the question arises is that in these words, these are worldly relationships, and obviously the gopis are far above this worldly relationship. They are transcendental in their relationship. And yet, out they are. They are indicating to Uddhava here their, I would say not frustration, but their disappointment with Krishna for the way he has behaved. He promised to come back and he has not come back. So Uddhava is sitting there listening to them very patiently and they feel free to, voice their thoughts. So I also happened to go through Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comments on this subject. So he says that a paramour gives up a woman, but as long as she is young, he does not give her up. These are comments of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So when the motivation disappears, friendship ceases. This is what happens in the world. So long as I have to get something out of someone, I will keep being friendly with that person. But the moment my needs are not going to be fulfilled, I suspect that this is not going to happen, and I just give up the relationship. So, here, the gopis are suggesting that since the Krishna's motives are being fulfilled now by women of Mathura, he has left Vraj. So, where is the need for Krishna to remember us any longer? They are saying this to Uddhava. His needs are being satisfied, that's what they are saying. But this way, the Vrajagopis hint at Krishna's not having any love for them. This is what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says. So, in this verse again,
Dagdham Mrutastha Aranyam Jara Bhuktva Ratam Striyam.
So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes a statement here. He says that the word used by Sukadev Goswami is Striyam. Striyam is singular and Jaraha is plural. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, and he says that this is what the gopis are saying. He says that by using the word Striyam, a singular, and paramours jaraha, plural, the gopis are implying that it is alright to reject a woman who is involved with many men out of lust. It may be alright. But we are many, and all of us, are devotees of Krishna. We are all surrendered to one man, Krishna. So what is the logic for, rejecting us? What is the logic for Krishna going away? That's how they are projecting their thoughts. So, then our love, Our love is not impaired by lust, since we have had love for Krishna since our childhood. We read in the Srimad Bhagavatam how the young gopis, you know, would perform, you know, worship of Katyayini Devi, and who is described by Srila Prabhupada in the purport there as the internal potency of Krishna. She is described as Yogamaya. So they were praying to her. Why? All of them wanted to get Krishna as a husband. So right from Balyavastha, it's suggested here that the gopis were totally surrendered to Krishna. So they were not, when they were wanting Krishna's association, it was not out of lust. They just loved Krishna. They were full of Krishna. So they didn't want anything. None of their sentiments were based on lust. And this is what is being said. So the gopis are, in this verse it is said, they are tyakta laukikaha. What does it mean? That they had abandoned the customs of general society by revealing with their own mouths their love for Krishna. Openly the gopis were declaring. They left their homes and went out in the night and to meet Krishna. So their intentions were completely exhibited by them. It was not something hidden from the people. So it is tyakta laukika. They were not bothered about the popular opinion about them. They just left everything and went. So here it is mentioned that while repeatedly singing about Krishna's pastimes in childhood and in youth, the gopis forgot all external considerations. So when they were in the association of Uddhava, the gopis forgot everything and they completely opened up and expressed themselves freely. So these are some of the thoughts on the verses that I have been given today. And very briefly, today also happens to be the appearance day of Srila Vakreshwar Pandit. So with your permission, I will speak a few words about Vakreshwar Pandit. So in Chaitanya Charitamrut, you find this name cropping up every now and then. Why is Vakreshwar Pandit so famous? It is summarized in one verse. Vakreshwara Pandit Prabhur Bada Priya Bhrutya Ekabhave Chabbis Prahar Yandra Nrutya. So Vakreshwar Pandit was he was capable of dancing, not for 15 minutes, half an hour, 1 hour, no. Chabbis Prahar, and one prahar is equal to 3 hours. So that makes it almost 78 hours. So he could dance continuously for 72 hours. So he was not an ordinary person. He was from the spiritual world. So it is described that when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu played in a dramatic performance in the house of Srivas Pandit, Vakreshwar was one of the chief dancers, and he danced continuously for 72 hours. Just unimaginable, I mean. So Sri Vakreshwar Pandit was present with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when Chaitanya as Nimai Pandit performed all his pastimes in Navadvip, Mayapur. He was there with him all the time. And then when Lord Gauranga, he accepted renunciation and left and went to Jagannath Puri there also Vakreshwar Pandit was a constant companion. We find his name in all Rathayatra festivals. You normally would lead a particular group. So Vakreshwar Pandit was a great personality. So Vakreshwar Pandit was involved in a beautiful pastime with another great devotee. So I would like to briefly describe that. So there are two types of Bhagavats, Srila Prabhupada writes. One is the book Bhagavat and the other one is the devotee Bhagavat. Now, Devanand Pandit was later on became a great disciple of Srila Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Devanand Pandit was in those times, he was one of the foremost speakers on Bhagavatam. he would give scholastic, you know, classes on Srimad Bhagavatam. And people would flock to hear his scholarly lectures from all. Everybody would come and hear. Such was his, you know, mastery over Srimad Bhagavatam. Very free with use of words and all that. So, one day it so happened that Srivas Pandit, in whose house the daily night kirtan would take place, Srivas Pandit, and this was much before advent of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had yet to, you know, appear in the world. So Srivas Pandit went to hear. He said that, let me go and hear Devanand Pandit's class. And when Devanand Pandit spoke in a scholarly fashion, there was no rasa in it, there was no bhakti in it. It was without bhakti. But because Srivas Pandit was a pure devotee of the Lord, he would find every word of Srimad Bhagavatam, he would find them non-different from Krishna. So even as Devanand Pandit, you know, was giving his class, Srivas Pandit, when he heard the words of Srimad Bhagavatam spoken by Sukadev Goswami, he became totally overwhelmed and he went into ecstasy. All the symptoms of ecstasy appeared in the person of Srivas, and he started uttering few words and he fell down. So the students of Devanand Pandit, they thought that this person, Srivas Pandit, elderly person at that time, said that this person is a nuisance. He is causing disturbance in the class of our teacher. So what they did was, they lifted Srivas Pandit bodily and took him outside the lecture hall, so to say, not lecture hall, took him outside and they left him there. And this happened right in the presence of Devanand Pandit. Devanand Pandit was sitting there and he saw what was being done. But because he was not a bhakta, because he did not have moisture of love within his heart, he was not in any way disturbed when Srivas was being treated so roughly by his students. Actually, that was an offense. It is apradh. It is Vaishnava apradh. He was causing an offense to a devotee of the Lord. He was not doing it personally, but he was seeing it happen through his students. So he is responsible. So this way, the apradh was committed. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he advented, years later, he always would make a reference to this bad behavior of Devanand Pandit. Whenever anybody, you know, praised Devanand Pandit, what beautiful classes he gives, you know. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would remember this atrocious behavior of Devanand Pandit in, you know, throwing out Srivas Pandit. He would be very much disturbed by that. So, and somehow or the other, Devanand Pandit, over a period of time, he may have realized that, you know, what an offensive person he was, but he never ever got mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very often would go very near, Kulia was his place, I think that is where the lectures were being done, and he would go very near that place. But everybody would say, yeah, here Devanand Pandit, you know, is giving classes, the Devanand Pandit. But, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not interested. So then what happened was that one day, by this time Devanand Pandit also had somewhat softened. One day what happened was, Vakreshwar Pandit happened to come to that place. Vakreshwar Pandit was a great, whose appearance day is being celebrated, a great devotee of the Lord. So when Vakreshwar Pandit came there, and somehow or the other, when Vakreshwar Pandit started chanting and dancing, Devanand Pandit, he became very much attracted to Vakreshwar Pandit. And he went there. He went there and he saw huge crowds. Huge crowds were there. They had gathered to see Vakreshwar Pandit dance. His dance was not something ordinary. It was something out of the ordinary. It was, you know, celestial dancing. He danced so beautifully. And so that he became attracted. And then he started serving Vakreshwar Pandit. In which way? As the dancing progressed, the crowds, you know, would go near, 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 near. And, you know, almost, you know, fall on Vakreshwar Pandit. Now we have seen this happen when His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj dances. Surging, you know, people are crowding all around, and short people like me are not able to see also what is going on. So, you know, people just crowd. And Devanand Pandit, he did the service. He took a cane, and you know, he somehow or the other restrained the crowds. Go back. He restrained the crowds, and that way he served Vakreshwar Pandit. And by this time, because he served Vakreshwar Pandit, he developed attraction also for Lord Chaitanya. When you serve a devotee, then you also become, you know, attracted to the master. So he became attracted to even to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then subsequently, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, they happened to come to the same area, this time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided that he could go and meet Devanand Pandit. He met him. So when he went there, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that, "Now I am very much pleased with you, Devanand Pandit. Why? Because you have served my dear devotee, Vakreshwar Pandit. So I am very happy with you. Because you have served Vakreshwar Pandit, and whose heart is actually the abode of Krishna, I am pleased with you." Vakreshwar Pandit was a pure devotee, carried Krishna wherever he went. That was reflected in his singing, it was reflected in his dance. And this way, it is mentioned that whenever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sang, Vakreshwar Pandit danced, and he would go and hold the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prabhura charana dhari Vakreshwara bale. So he had the freedom to go and, you know, hold the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then one day he said that
Dasa sahasra gandharva more deha chandra mukha tara gaya muina cho tabe mora sukha.
Vakreshwar Pandit told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "O moon faced Lord, give me 10,000 Gandharvas and let them sing while I dance, then I will be happy."
Prabhu bale tumi mor pakshe ek shakha, akashe uditana yadip pana arpakha.
He said that you are one of my wings, O Vakreshwar Pandit. If I had another one like you, I would also fly in the sky. So this was the love and regard which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had for Vakreshwar Pandit. So it is described that in Kashi Mishra's residence at Gambira, which was also the residence of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for nearly 18 years, there are the worshipable deities of Vakreshwar Pandit, I believe, and Radha Radha Kant is the name of their deities. We have been to that place also. Some of us have visited during the yatra. So Vakreshwar Pandit is actually an epitome of inspiration for all the devotees, a wonderful associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So on this very auspicious day, we can pray to him and beg that we also feel inspired to serve devotees and serve the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, serve the mission of Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada and our Guru with the same enthusiasm that Vakreshwar Pandit displayed while dancing. Hare Krishna. Any comments or any questions?
Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.